what in the holy hell, the stuff that they're teaching our kids, we're talking about elementary school, middle school, is like blood play?
I clearly need a sex ed class.
It's blood play.
I don't know what that is.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Common sense? Now, the sex conversation, we've already talked about where babies come from.
Right.
And she was like, ew. And she was like, that is so gross. Ew.
Welcome to another edition of the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast. We got to start today by sharing with you some hate that we received. Actually, I'm not even going to use the word hate.
We're going to bring it. We're going to bring it down a few notches.
We're going to bring it down.
Start low, and then all we can do is go up after
right.
that.
That's right.
That's how we roll here.
So, I guess, what was it? A few episodes ago, we were talking about airplane etiquette and just manners.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right. Everybody being a dick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just not caring about mm-hmm. their fellows. And so we got a review. And of course, we encourage people to leave reviews on the iTunes platform about this podcast, because the more you leave reviews, the more that helps us yeah. spread the word. And, you know, sometimes people... There's always going to be times where people are mad at us or they're going to hate us and they just want to leave a bad review. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we've got a lot more people that send the love, and that's great. But there was one actual fan, someone who, her name's Amy, and normally she loves us. Right now, though, girl's mad. She's mad.
She mad.
Mm-hmm. And here's what she wrote about that particular podcast segment. She wrote, I normally love your podcast and laugh so hard listening to you. Today, I found myself angry listening to you. This is the second time. I am a plus-sized, 6-foot-tall woman, and you have shamed me twice now. You have no idea what it's like to walk around in my shoes. I know I need to lose weight, and I've tried my whole life without any success, and I continue to try, but my blood work is all normal, I don't have high blood pressure, and I'm not diabetic. How dare you assume I am unhealthy because I'm overweight? And then today, I hear you say that because I'm tall and have long legs, I'm supposed to fork out the hundreds of dollars for first class? How about you use your manners and tell me you're planning to recline? I have permanent scars on my knees from rude airplane passengers that just suddenly came back. I agree that the man you talked about overreacted, but I will not agree that because I'm tall, I should have to fly first class so you can recline whenever you want.
Damn.
She's mad.
She's really mad. I don't think that we shamed that individual who was the tall person. I don't think that there was shame. I don't think we were shaming tall
people. I was
people.
Trying to shame the CEO of Delta for weighing in on this entire controversy and mm-hmm. telling people that they are required to ask first
yeah.
if they are going to recline. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's the polite thing to do. Yeah. However, if the seat reclines, you should expect that the person sitting in front of you may or may not recline.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that you have literally like an inch of reclination. And that's what we were trying to get at, is that that inch of reclination is not the person's fault who is reclining, because they have the ability to recline. Don't be mad at that person for reclining. Just because you are tall does not mean that they can't recline. It's not their fault that they have the ability to engage in the reclination. You know, that's the thing. You can't be mad at the person. Be mad at the airline.
Yeah. Be mad at the airlines for making the seats reclinable.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, then consider buying first class. I'm just saying, the seats recline.
Or consider bitching to the airlines.
Right.
That may be, you know, you may want to like form some sort of tall persons group and then try to take up legislation or something. Try to create some sort of change to make plane seats bigger.
Right.
You know, because that is not up to the person in front of you
mm-mm.
to make you more comfortable. It's not there, because they pay just as much for the seat as you did. And if they have an inch to recline, by God, they're going to recline that inch.
That's exactly right. And by the way, I don't feel like we fat shame either.
No.
I also, in this case, because I know she's saying she's trying to lose weight, but how dare we suggest she's healthy or unhealthy, rather. I'm suggesting that weight will contribute to health problems, period. There is no getting around it. And the reason I know that is because there are no fat elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true. You may be very healthy now. Congrats. And the reason you're trying to lose weight is probably to be more healthy. So I don't think we're really arguing here. And I don't think we're really trying to shame anyone. Mm-hmm. We just want people to be healthy. That's all. That's all. But by the way, this is not the first time that we have ever said things that have gotten us into trouble. Case in point, on yesterday's radio program, we were talking about sex education.
Yeah.
And I may or may not have used the term fisting.
She did.
On
she used it on local radio.
On a local radio station.
I'm shocked that, because we were it was in the context of talking about sexual education in schools, and we were specifically talking about sex ed and how it's changed over the course of like the past decade. And she said, oh, they teach fisting now in schools.
I'm pretty sure I didn't just...
Yeah, you blurted it out. Oh, yeah, she blurted it out, y'all. Okay. She blurted it right out.
I may have
And our producer about crapped his pants. And then the news guy came flying into the newsroom. And he's like, what in the hell did I just hear? And he was like, wait a second. His name is Kurt. Kurt Darling is his name. And he comes flying in. He's like, wait a second. What did you just say? And he was like, did you just say fisting on the air?
I did.
And she did. She said it right on the air, and I was like, oh my God, we're going to get fired. Like, it's been a good run, you know, but we're totally going to get fired today. And we didn't get fired, but I was like, don't say it again. Just don't say it again. And she didn't say it again.
No, I didn't. I didn't say it.
You didn't say it again, but she referred to it. Like, she was like, you know that thing I just said. You know, and so we had a discussion about it without really having a discussion about it, without saying the actual word. But they are teaching. I mean,
it's no joke.
She's right to she's right to bring it up. It's just that you can't. What is crazy is that we can't say the word fisting on radio, right? We can't say it like numerous times. But yet they're teaching this crap in schools.
Well, and that's just it. And our producer pushed back on that a little bit, saying, oh, I don't think that's happening here in Indiana, which is where we are.
Uh-huh.
But the point is there is very graphic sex talk happening in our schools. I have an example from Goshen, Indiana. So it's not, you know, maybe they aren't specifically talking about fisting, but they are absolutely telling people in fifth grade about anal sex and mm-hmm. oral sex.
Yeah.
And so this is happening. And then in California, oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Examples are out of control.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But I find it really interesting that, like, we can't, our executive producer would be happy to talk about anal sex all day long on the air because our producer is a freaking perv, right? but our executive producer and our program director are like, you can't say this stuff on the air, right? Because the FCC will come down on us, and we are a conservative talk radio show. Mm-hmm. And so we are very, you know, we have guidelines as to what we can say. I find it very interesting that adults listen to us, right? Mostly. There are some kids in the car because
we always apologize.
But isn't it interesting that we have very strict guidelines as to what we can say on the air because of the FCC, but yet the stuff that they're teaching our kids, we're talking about elementary school, middle school, high school kids, but elementary and middle school, the stuff that they're teaching our kids is like, oh, it's fine. Let's just talk about anal sex.
No reason for a fifth grader to need to learn about anal and oral sex.
And blood play?
I don't even know what that
is. There was something we saw yesterday. I looked it up and I was like, they're talking about blood play. And I was like, what? In the holy hell.
I clearly need a sex ed class.
It's blood play.
I don't know what that is.
I don't even, and they're teaching this. And like that was in California. They're teaching about blood. What is that?
I don't.
I'm afraid to Google it.
I just feel like there's going to be a lot of bad things.
There's going to be pictures that come up. And you know that like if you die tomorrow, you get hit by a bus. They're going to be like, oh my God, that freaky Miriam chick. Look what a perv she was. You're going to find it.
Look what she just Googled.
Look at her search history, man. It was blood play. Yeah. You don't want to look that crap up.
Well, and to your point about how we're, you know, we have to be super careful about what we say. And yet our kids are learning this stuff. It's kind of like how a kid can go and get an abortion without parental consent.
Totally.
But if you want your kid to get a Tylenol class,
right?
Oh my God, you got to sign all the forms.
All the forms.
You got to like bring in cops to handle it. I mean, it's out of control.
Right? Even talk to me about getting a Sudafed.
Oh my God.
I don't even.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, you're making meth. You're making meth. To have clear nasal passageways,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have to be treated as though you're making meth.
I haven't had clear nasal passageways since like 2008. It hasn't happened. I mean, that was right before I basically got pregnant. Seriously.
So we have a couple of examples to share with you about some of the different types of programming that's mm-hmm. happening in sex education classes. First of all, I was surprised to find an example or to find information about a sex ed curriculum in Austin. because I figured, well, Austin, sure, they're going to be, that's going to, they're pretty liberal there.
They're liberal. They're pretty liberal.
Some very interesting
crazy
programs.
Stuff.
And Dr. James Dobson, who's the president and founder of the James Dobson Family Institute, you may have heard of him, has issued like a big statement about the concern about their sex curriculum, because they're talking about kids as young as 8 or 9 being exposed to attacks on the family. So James Dobson, obviously a very traditional person. And so they're worried about the fact that they're learning about these this gender spectrum idea. Uh-huh. And this is part of their whole curriculum. They're also being 5th and 6th grade students discussing sexual orientations and HIV, 6th graders being told that gender is a spectrum, and 7th and 8th graders being taught how to use condoms.
Oh, 7th and 8th graders. 7th and 8th graders.
I mean, so that's just an example.
That is so crazy.
Austin.
Like, what did you learn when you were a kid?
I just remember not having an actual reproductive health class until 9th grade.
Me too. I was about 9th grade too.
And it was very basic.
And it was legit like biology.
Yeah.
It was, this is how it all works from a biological standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about, you know, consent. Because now, like a lot of schools, like I'm looking at the stuff that is, you know, like Oregon and California and places like that, where they are teaching classes on consent. Just because someone said yes last week doesn't mean it's still a yes this week.
Or in that moment. Because you've seen consent rules where it's like, mm-hmm. a woman can change her mind when the penis has already been inserted.
Yeah.
And then they can be like, she may have given consent, but like in the act, she'll be like, I don't want this anymore. And so you can reverse consent or take away consent or whatever.
I mean, this is what they're teaching kids, right? I mean, this is, and then they're beginning in kindergarten. This is Oregon. They have adopted new health education standards. This is in 2016. They did this in kindergarten. Students should be learning about media influence on health and ways to prevent disease.
In kindergarten?
In kindergarten. Students also should be learning that there are many ways to express gender and how to communicate respectfully with people of all sexual orientations. This starts in kindergarten. Without lessons on sexual orientation or gender identity, before teachers couldn't define the terms, but they didn't teach about the topics. Now they're doing that.
How can you teach a kindergartner about sexual orientation when they don't know what sex is?
This is the thing. I mean, I have a 10-year-old. We haven't even started talking about like the whole gay thing. Now I'm sure that she's probably starting to hear like nuances of it and everything. And you can't escape it because it's on television and things like that. You can't escape that kind of stuff. Mm-mm. But she hasn't asked us about it yet, but I know that that's coming, and I know that it probably within the next 6 months we will start talking about that openly. Now the sex conversation, we've already talked about where babies come from,
right?
And she was like, ew. And she was like, that is so gross, ew. You know. And then when you talk about where babies and how babies are, you know, how they come out and how, you know, she was like, I don't ever want that to happen. Like that sounds horrible. I don't ever want to have a baby. You know what I mean? Because it does. When you explain,
that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
And there's only so much of that you can process when you're that age.
Exactly. And so you give them little chunks of it, and then if they want to ask questions, that's exactly how I've sort of approached it with my daughter. Here is some of it. And then they ask a couple questions, and then they're like, oh, look, squirrel.
Right.
You know, because they just can only handle little bits of information at a time. And that's how we've approached it with her.
I found that with my kid, this is how I learned as a kid. My parents bought me the book, Where Did I Come From? Really, really great illustrations.
Yeah,
very, very basic.
We have that book.
And it gives you like enough information that's easy to learn in pictures when you're itty bitty. Yeah. And then obviously the words that tie in are a little more complicated, but it's age appropriate. Like you can grow with it. Now, I do have the story about how my kid learned about what gay is.
Oh, my God.
So, and, you know, this was when he was, I don't know, seven or eight.
I know he was right, like a little bit younger than how old my kid is now.
Yeah.
Because I remember the story. You were like, oh, my God.
I mean, because I was not prepared for this at all. So, you know, he's got his little iPad and he's like looking at stuff on his little iPad. And he comes to me and he's white. You know, his face is white. And he brings me his iPad and he goes, Mommy, I think I'm seeing something inappropriate. And it turns out, because he was at that age where boys cannot think about anything but farting and butts, he had done a Google search, an image search on butts, you guys. And all the gay sex came up.
All the gay sex.
And he had never seen anything like that before. He'd never been exposed to it. There was no reason for him to be taught that from us at 7 years old. And so I was like, yes, honey, you are looking at something inappropriate. And he was like, why are they doing that?
Oh, my gosh. And what do you say?
And I said all I could say, which is, well, honey, there are sometimes men like other men, kind of the way that mommies and daddies like each other. And so they do things like what you're seeing in those pictures together. And that was a big moment for him.
Yeah.
And it was a big moment for him to be much more careful with his searches on Google. Now, of course, he's 14 and knows everything. Like,
yeah.
No, he probably would be able to tell me what blood play is.
Yeah.
And I would be horrified.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, these kids are on social media. They're on Instagram. They're on the internet. They are seeing all the things.
They are seeing all the things. Yeah. Way more than what we saw when we were, you know, 13, 12, 11 years old. Right. Yeah. That's the thing is that, and my daughter's 10 and I know she's going to start seeing more and more of the things. So it's a matter of keeping the line of communication open. But I don't think it's the school's responsibility to be teaching them all of these things. And there's so much that they've gone over the line on this stuff.
Gosh, right?
I don't want my kid to know what blood play is.
I don't even know.
I know. I don't want her to know what that is. I don't. It's just something that I don't want her to know. And I don't think it's the public school's business to be teaching what that crap is. I don't.
Yeah.
Teaching the basics. In fact, especially in today's day and age where we're lagging so far behind in actual subjects when it, you know, and when we are up against other countries, you know, listen, I used to teach at the college level and I had kids in my class who couldn't write in complete sentences. I used to teach writing and they were terrible writers. And I thought, I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't know how some of those kids even got into college. And so I wondered along the way, like, did they just pass these kids through, you know? Mm-hmm. And back in my day, I know I sound like Carol.
Just when you said back in my day.
In my day, when we walked uphill in the snow both ways to school.
Holding a hot potato to keep our hands
warm. When we did that. You know, seriously, back in those days, I feel like you had to really do something to get into college. Nowadays, I feel like everybody goes to college, right?
Well, that's why we're so behind as a country.
Yeah.
Because we're so hyper-focused on things like trans issues and gender crap that we're not teaching the basics.
The actual subjects. I mean, and that's the thing is that how long are they taking to teach sex ed? For me, it was like a half hour on a Friday in ninth grade. And it wasn't teaching about, you know, all of this stuff where it's like, do they really need to... Parents should be really doing this stuff. And I know not all parents do it because you'll snap back at me and say, but Amy, you know, Daisy, they don't do this. His parents don't teach this stuff at home. And so that's why we have all these, you know, girls getting pregnant at 16. And
yeah, I'm fine with a certain level of sex ed and health ed and reproductive health explanations. And here is where babies come from. Here is how you can protect yourself against disease. I get it. I think there should always be an underlying message of how important it is to maintain abstinence until marriage. I think that's just a good message. I know it's not realistic, which is why I also think it's fine to include some information about contraception, particularly in high school. But when we talk about a fifth grade curriculum that includes how to conduct foreplay, how to stroke the clitoris of a girl. When this is something that fifth graders are learning about, that's insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
Like, insane.
It's completely insane.
There just needs to be some limits.
Yeah, because I look at my daughter who's in fourth grade and I'm like,
Yeah, next year, she's going to be learning about how a guy is supposed to be touching her clitoris?
Uh-uh. Oh my God, no. There are so many evens I can't. So many evens that I can't. I mean, this is a kid who's still playing with dolls. And I would be freaking out if I were a parent. I'd be absolutely freaking out. It's not the right age. It's not the right curriculum. It's just not right. It's not right. Listen, I know it's California and I know they're whack over there, but it's not okay. It's just not okay. And I can't imagine even some of the parents in California and Oregon and some of these other places being okay with this stuff, because they've got kids too.
I know.
They've got 10-year-olds too. They're still moms that are looking at that, they've got to be going, what in the hell are we doing?
And then when nothing is off limits, then truly nothing is off limits, yeah. right? Because that's when now we got freaking blood play to talk about yeah. in high school.
I know.
And that's because I think, you know, more and more, I feel like these are progressive ideas being pushed onto schools that are forced to comply with all of these nonsense, you know, made up gender G's and Z's and all of this bull crap mm-hmm. that means nothing. And then they say, well, if we're going to teach about this gender spectrum, then we also have to include trans rights issues. Yeah. We also have to get into non-binary issues. And the world feels like it's going crazy.
Yeah. And then it gets into that whole notion of the trans thing where I feel like a lot of kids are doing the trans thing because it is a trend.
Yeah.
And if the schools start implementing that as a curriculum and they're like, oh my God, you be you. And it's, you know, it's, you do the best, you be the best version of you that you can be. And if you know, being a trans is brave, and they start, yeah. you know, implementing sort of that notion about being a trans into these kids' brains at such a young age, like fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And they say that's bravery to be trans. How many kids that weren't going to be trans you think are going to become trans because of that?
I mean, it is a total, there's no question that it has become trendy.
Totally.
Right. And then you have on the worst case scenarios of that, you have kids that are massively altering their bodies mm-hmm. and their hormones and everything because yeah. they're convincing themselves that this isn't just a passing phase. This is something that is going to change their lives forever. And then in their 20s, they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I need to undo all of this.
And the fact that they did it because the public school system was like, you should think about doing this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Because when you encourage something by talking about it incessantly, you are encouraging it.
Yeah.
Whether that's the intention or not. By the way, also fifth graders are learning that there are other words for masturbating, like oh. wanking and jerking off.
Oh my God.
This is what fifth graders
in
California
schools.
Need to know about. I'm not, I mean, this is just.
Oh, and then they're also learning about mutual masturbation. I mean, that's another thing that that's in one of the curriculums that I saw. They're learning about that. I just, can you imagine, like back when I was in school, can you imagine learning that?
I cannot.
I cannot. Just, I know. Like, this is what they're learning now. And it's okay. Like, it's like, oh, this is healthy. It's like really healthy for kids to learn. No.
No, there's basic human reproductive functions. And mm-hmm. then there's blood play. Okay. I mean, there's a huge disparity with those two things.
It's freaking crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important to make sure anyone is listening. If you're a parent out there, make sure that you know what your school's sex ed program is. I know, for example, that my kid just this week learned about sexually transmitted diseases and, you know, the importance of condoms and all that stuff. And so, and I look through, I know what the curriculum is. And if there was stuff about blood play and all this other nonsense, I would be going to the school and saying, I want to opt out or find out if there's an opt out. You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
there's some stuff
schools,
that goes over the limit.
And some schools, they don't give you an opt out.
Right.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you're understanding what it is that they're learning. And also, what are the guidelines when it comes to opting out? Mm. Because if there's no opt out, maybe you should opt out of that school.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Just know. Just learn what your kids are learning because mm-hmm. it's so, so important.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know since we started today's podcast with a mean sort of review, I do have a couple good ones to share.
You do? We like
I
good
do.
Ones.
Corey wrote, I listen to your Common Sense podcast weekly and your radio show podcast daily. I love them both. You're both such a breath of fresh air. I love that you can laugh at yourselves while also mocking the insane left. Keep it up. And then from 566, we got this, the conservative podcast game. You are winning at it. I discovered you guys about 2 years ago and have been an avid listener ever since. I've always been conservative, was raised in a conservative household, but I never really watched the news or listen to conservative commentators because they were always so serious and sounded ticked off. Not you guys, though. You present the news in a fun, funny, and casual way that I absolutely love. Daisy, your Bernie Sanders impression.
What do you got to bring me into this?
Is spot on and absolutely cracks me up. Mock, your endless joy and bubbly personality makes me smile. Thank you so much for doing what you do and don't ever stop. Sincerely, a 20-year-old conservative. 20.
That's awesome.
Please continue that wonderful trend and leave us a review on the iTunes podcast platform if you wouldn't mind. We so, so appreciate those.
And where else can these people find us? You can find us
all the places.
all the places. At Chicks on Right on Instagram, at Chicks on Right on the 13th Circle of Hell, otherwise known as Twitter. Our Facebook page, Chicks on the Right. We also have a group that you have to like answer a couple questions to get into. You got to know some stuff about us on Facebook. And then
it's very exclusive.
It is. It's extremely, it's really hard to get in. And then there our website, chicksontheright.com. And then also, where else?
Well, we have our Facebook Live videos that we do every single morning. That's between right. 7:30 and 8 a.m. Eastern. And then we put those on YouTube. So if you don't catch them on Facebook or you don't follow us on Facebook, you can catch them on YouTube at The Mock and Daisy Show.
That's
and of
right.
course, right here every
right
week.
Right here. Subscribe if you haven't. And leave us a comment. And we will talk to you next week, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Why am I so low? I feel low. How low? Maybe it's your hair. I think it's because your hair is so high today. I think that's what it is. Your hair is so extra high.
And you're just not used to me being like of this height.
Like,
I'm
so, your hair is so close to God right now.
Yeah, it's high today.
I feel like I should tease mine a little. Maybe get it so higher. So like, there you go. I'm a little bit closer now to God.